This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This podcast will discuss a novel program to reduce the consequences of fractures in older adults. In a review of traumatic injuries by Fleming and Linder, in the text Acute Emergencies and Critical Care of the Geriatric Patient, the post-trauma potential for mortality in the older adult is 5 times greater than that for the younger. Mortality from trauma in the older adult is due to injury, severity, host factors like premorbid conditions, time to care, and the quality of care. Emergency operations increase the operative risk for complications, and good outcomes are often influenced by early care. But it is understood that there are no reliable predictors of who will have a poor or a favorable response to injury, and many discharged patients age 65 years or older do make it back to home or back to independence years later. Aside from recognizing and treating injuries, rehabilitating to improve mobility and independence, providing assistive devices, and implementing preventative measures, is there anything else that we can do in the acute setting to further increase the likelihood of a better outcome after trauma? Well, a Massachusetts General Hospital geriatrician and thought leader named Esteban Franco Garcia believes that there is, and he and others have created a gift, so to speak, for elders that may improve their outcomes after a traumatic injury. And we are fortunate to have Dr. Franco Garcia here with us now to tell us about his program. Dr. Franco Garcia is a geriatrician who has been working at the Massachusetts General Hospital for the past 7 years. He attended medical school in Columbia, residency in New York, and he completed his geriatric fellowship at the Massachusetts General Hospital. He is interested in medical education and is the program director for the Massachusetts General Hospital Geriatric Fellowship. He strives to improve the care of patients with orthopedic trauma, and as he said, wishes to spread the geriatric love through the fellowship program. Dr. Franco Garcia, it is my pleasure to welcome you to AMDA On The Go.
Hi, Wayne. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Franco Garcia, I typically like to start our discussion with somewhat of a historical framework to set the tone for what's to come. In 2019, in an effort to recognize the unique nature of the older adult facing surgery, the American College of Surgeons and its Coalition for Quality in Geriatric Surgery Project presented the Geriatric Surgery Verification Program to improve surgical care and outcomes for the aging adult population. The standards for the program, developed over 4 years, viewed older adults as a special population and addressed institutional investment, clinical practice, and programmatic infrastructure in order to improve older patient outcomes and reduce hospital resource use. The standards did specifically address older adult vulnerabilities, the need for specialized high-risk patient care, and specific needs at discharge. Yet, despite this shift, so to speak, in surgical services addressing our unique segment of the adult population, you and your Massachusetts General Hospital colleagues seem to believe that you needed more. So a bunch of questions to start us off. Lead us through the evolution of this gift, specifically the geriatric inpatient fracture services, or GIFs. In a Massachusetts General Hospital write-up of this program, you said, it was clear that these patients needed additional, more careful care. What was missing in the care of the older adults with trauma? Who needed to buy in to this GIFs idea? Surgeons, nurses, case managers, colleagues? And why did you look at transitions, and what was the hope to achieve with this program? lots to start us out with.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. So as you very well mentioned in the introduction, the patients that we see in the trauma service are a very particular population where usually are older and frail with multiple comorbidities and who are at higher risks of postoperative complications, loss of independence, both functional and cognitive decline, and who traditionally don't have the best outcomes after surgery in this different areas. So back in 2011, 2012, it was actually interest from one of the who was then the chief of orthopedic trauma, who reached out to our former chief of geriatrics and thought about doing a co-management, or inquired about doing a co-management program with this population, as he had experienced a similar program in a different hospital where he was working at. So at that time, the two heads of these services got together and started thinking about how to create a program like this. I was fortunate to, at the time, was starting my fellowship in geriatrics. So I had a great opportunity to help in the programmatic development of the program, and as well as development of some of the guidelines and order sets that we'll talk about later today. So as you said, it was very important to get the buy-in of the surgeons, of the nursing, the nurses, the case managers, anesthesiologists, and you know, even our colleagues from the medicine service who were traditionally doing like as needed medicine consults, or primary care physicians who would typically follow their patients in the hospital, because it was going to be a significant change in the way these patients were going to be taken care of. Right. So getting their buy-in was a critical aspect, and a little bit difficult because, you know, people thought, you know, what are you guys are going to do differently than what we're used to do, right? And how is this going to improve the care of these otherwise very frail patients? So that was how it started back in 2011. The pilot was done in 2011-2012, and since then we've been seeing around 350 to 400 patients in our program per year.
Why did you also look at the transitions piece? You know, what was the hope to achieve with the program?
So the initial hopes was the initial outcomes were to decrease the length of stay of our patients, to improve or try to decrease the common postoperative complications, and also to try to smooth out the transition of the patients from the hospital to the next care setting, which most often is skilled nursing facilities. Right. So we saw that there was a lot of disruption. There's a lot of fragmented care. So we thought that by having a dedicated geriatrician only seeing these patients, that would help with some of these outcomes.
Right. Wonderful. Dr. Franco-Garcia, according to a 2018 review by Geoffrey Florio and others in El Giornale di Chirurgia, entitled Trauma in Elderly Patients, a Study of Prevalence, Comorbidities, and Gender Differences. You know, we know that trauma increases with age. It's a leading cause of disability and institutionalization, and can result in worsening morbidity and mortality. Predominantly affects older women, with hip fractures the most frequent injury. Sadly, the yearly trauma numbers, you know, have really always been present to merit our attention. So, you know, tell us specifically about the GIFS program from the moment of entry into, you know, to discharge. What does the program entail? You know, tell us about your metrics, which you began to discuss in the previous question, and really, what did your metrics show? And was your format different if the transition was to a skilled nursing facility versus a transition to home?
Right. So the structure of our program is based, so co-management between geriatrics and orthopedics is believe it or not a novel thing. It's been going on for several years, but it's kind of new to this country. There's some data and some write-ups up to like 50 years ago, especially in England and Australia, where they began publishing about the first co-management programs. But here in the States, it was probably around 2008 where a group in Rochester, New York, started publishing more about the results of their co-management program. So our program is based on the Rochester model of co-management. And this, you know, there's several publications by Dr. Cates, Mendelssohn, and Friedman about co-management. And it basically relies on the five principles of a geriatric fracture center that Dr. Friedman and his group describes, which are basically, number one, that most patients benefit from surgical stabilization of their fractures. So we know that even if in patients who have poor functional baseline, by fixing their fractures, we can help ease pain and improve function, even if that function is just transferring from a bed to a wheelchair or just mobility in bed. The second principle is about the sooner that the patients go to surgery, the less time they have to complicate afterwards. Right. So trying to streamline the access of the patients, and I'll go into how a usual day or a usual patient goes through our program. Mm. The third principle is that co-management with frequent communications avoids iatrogenesis. So I'll also talk a little bit about, you know, how we communicate with our orthopedic colleagues. Fourth principle is that standardized protocols decrease unwarranted variability. So developing order sets, developing standard protocols that are followed by all of our providers and nursing as well. And finally, the fifth one is that discharge planning begins at admission. So based on this, we develop a program where we have a geriatrician who is on service, and we see anyone admitted to the orthopedic trauma service who is 65 years and older. Huh. Initially, it was just hip fractures, but we quickly expanded to any fracture that would require surgical repair. And what happens is we see the patients on admission or the day after admission. If a patient comes in overnight, the geriatrician will do an initial assessment, which includes a preoperative evaluation as well as a geriatric assessment. And we've now based our geriatric assessments, you know, using the 5N model, where we try to establish a baseline cognitive function, what the patient's pre-fracture functional status was. We do a careful review of medications. We do a review as well of patients' comorbidities and how could those comorbidities affect patients' outcomes postoperatively or perioperatively, as well as very important, the matters most in where we want to make sure that we know, you know, what matters to our patients, who's there, you know, if they have specific goals of care or advanced directives, who's their healthcare proxy, and want to make sure that we document that throughout the admission as well as at the time of discharge. Then, as I mentioned, we try to get these patients to surgery as quickly as possible and try to avoid unnecessary delays for their surgery. And then we follow these patients daily throughout their stay up until discharge, where, you know, from the beginning, we're closely talking to the patients, their caregivers, and case managers about what would be the best setting for discharge or for post-acute care for you know, for the particular patient. In terms of metrics, what we usually follow is, so one, like the important metrics that orthopedic colleagues wanted to look at was trying to, again, streamline the access to surgery, so minimize the time from admission to surgery. As you probably know, or your viewers, the sooner that we fix a hip fracture or a fracture, the better outcomes that patients will have. Right. In the literature, there's some recommendations, whether 24 to 48 hours. So we try to track that, like time to surgery. And to date, more than 90% of our patients go within the first 24 hours, and the great majority will go within the first 48 hours after admission.
Right.
That also, of course, reduces length of stay. What we saw in our program was an initial reduction of about a day and a half. Nowadays, it's about a day on average. So our patients will stay, shorter in the hospital. And of course, incidence of postoperative complications, for instance, delirium being one of the most common complications after surgery, by implementing our protocols and by education with our nursing team, and we've actually have less incidence of delirium as you would usually expect in a population like this.
So what struck out to me were two points that I just wanted to highlight. The Institute of Healthcare Improvements Program, age-friendly, the 4M project. You mentioned that you are concerned about what matters most. And I think that's just fantastic, as you really are highlighting goals of care and patient-centered care. So I think that is absolutely fantastic. And you have reiterated the mantra that we have in the society regarding training, that as we're looking at initiatives to improve outcome, we know that decreasing variation increases quality, and that's exactly what you're doing with your standardization of the program. So really, you may have emulated another program, but you really are carrying forward the current thoughts about quality and about caring for the patient as the patient wants to be cared for.
Yes, and I think that's very, very important, as there's a lot of variability, and even in our orthopedic service, there's residents, there's fellows who rotate through the service, so there's often chances for improvisation, especially on some key issues like pain management, for instance. Where we know that if you give too much or too little or the wrong medication, you can trigger some complications. So part of that was developing an order set that the orthopedic residents could use when they're admitting patients in the middle of the night. They know to go to a specific orthogeriatric order set, which will give them all of the options of pain management and bowel regimens and function orders, so that they could use pre-op and post-op to help them decide what's the best medications or the best pathway to use.
Fantastic.
Managing your patient's needs across multiple specialties is increasingly important, but also an increasingly challenging task. U.S. Post-Acute Care now offers clinical staffing solutions not only for primary care medicine, but also for behavioral health, chronic care management, and telehealth, bringing you a more comprehensive solution for your patients and your facilities. Now more than ever, your patients need you in so many ways. Let U.S. Post-Acute Care help you deliver more complete quality care. For more information, visit us at uspostacutecare.com.
We are speaking with Dr. Esteban Franco Garcia about an inpatient program to improve outcomes after trauma in the older adult. Dr. Franco Garcia, a central motivation of the society, that is the home to this podcast, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, has always been, what can we teach or discuss today that we can put in action tomorrow by our, as I refer to them, Joe AMDAs in the trenches, our providers in the skilled nursing setting. What can we help them do tomorrow? I am most interested in understanding how the hospital piece is linked to the skilled nursing setting. as the transition of more acutely ill or injured older adults with increased nursing needs are now presenting to the skilled setting, you know, compared to just 5 years ago. And as noted in a 2018 Journal of the American Medical Directors Association, a JAMDA article by Fry and others, skilled nursing facilities are being challenged to develop clinical programs to care for the higher acuity patient and prevent rehospitalizations. So what would it take today for a skilled nursing facility and a hospital like Mass General to work together and create a program like your GIFTS program to facilitate the transition process for an older adult, post-trauma patient? You know, what are the tricks in generating a highly communicative, patient-centered, quality and seamless process?
Well, I think that's a great question. And it's a complicated one because it depends a lot on the local resources of the different health care systems. For instance, for us, it's challenging, as you know, in many other places or in large metropolitan areas, in where there are several hundreds skilled nursing facilities around where our patients could go to. And often, as much as we try to narrow it down to a few, the ultimate decision comes from the patient, and they often pick whatever is closer to where they live.
Right.
Although we are lucky to have in our healthcare organization, the Mass General Brigham, a group led by one of our colleagues, Dr. Charles Pooh, whom works in a transitions of care program in where they try to do different collaboratives with nursing homes in how could we streamline that communication, how could we make things easier when patients from our hospitals are transferred to nursing homes. It also, I think, depends on you know, the availability of geriatricians. As your audience very well know, there's very few of us, and the availability of a geriatrician in hospitals or like inpatient care, there's not a lot of them, as well as in post-acute care. So I think, you know, part of what we can do, like as you ask, like what can we do tomorrow, is really try to identify who is the key people that would play a role in helping facilitate this transitions of care, and just having a conversation and see how can we improve the transitions among our patients, and what is important for skilled nursing provider who's receiving the patient. What matters most to them as well? What's important? What kind of information is important for them to receive with the patients that they're getting from the hospital, and how could that information be transmitted in a more consistent way? For instance, what we had done in the past is initially the discharge summary of our patients was done by our orthopedic colleagues, but we quickly, by just surveying some of our nursing homes where some of our patients were going, a lot of information pertaining to the medical aspect of the patients, or just, you know, the pertaining the medical and psychosocial aspect of our patients was missing. So we then quickly turned to do a joint discharge summary in where orthopedics writes about the surgery and what happened, and then geriatrics writes about you know, the medical stay or the geriatric assessment as well. We also do warm handoff on patients who we think need a closer attention or are at higher risk of readmissions. We would call the receiving facility and give them a heads up of what they're expecting, and kind of like a line to how to contact us if they have any questions or any complications.
Wow.
And just lastly, like for hospitals, there's also for hospitals who might be interested in creating co-management programs, the AGS has come up with a great resource, which is called the Ortho Co-Care Program, where hospitals can subscribe to it, and they can find lots of tools and resources and education materials to start a co-management program.
That's fantastic. No, some past highlights from what you just said. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Dr. Chuck Poo, a geriatrician and a leader in the state of Massachusetts in geriatric care and transitions, is really a powerful resource. But some other things that you talked about that are very much asked for and are not that hard to do, really, and can be standardized, is having a discharge summary that that is completed in part by a geriatrician that understands, that understanding social determinants of health, goals of care, and other issues that a surgeon might not necessarily think of, can be a powerful advocacy device in a transition. And the warm handoff, God bless you, Dr. Franco Garcia, because the warm handoff is something that we have, that we continue to ask for in transition of more complicated patients. It really does improve outcomes. You know, do you agree?
Absolutely.
Dr. Franco Garcia, as has become customary in the time that we have remaining, I typically like to be somewhat provocative with my guests, but not too much. I guess that the most obvious question could be, are we looking at the wrong end of the equation? You know, we've known for so long about an older adult's risk for falls, issues around progressive frailty, and poor outcomes, common things being common around future function and cognition. You know, shouldn't we be focusing all of our energies at that end? Or are we kind of kidding ourselves in being able to really mitigate fall risk, doing everything that we're doing? Folks are still going to fall, and that we need programs like your GIFTS program to lessen the blows of poor outcomes, older adult burden on caregivers, and potentially high resource utilization.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, as you said, you know, falls are going to continue to happen. And unless somebody turns off gravity, which is not going to happen, falls are, I think, inevitable. And it's, you know, as you and your audience knows, it's one of the most common geriatric syndromes, and it affects a lot of people in the community and in long-term care facilities. And decreasing the risk of falls is complicated. And especially for the vast majority of our patients who are being taken care of by primary care providers who have also other time constraints and metrics to follow. So addressing fall risk is very complicated. And then there's this other thing about osteoporosis and how a huge number of our patients are living with osteoporosis without necessarily knowing so. A lot of patients, you know, in general in the country and in the world, we do very poorly in secondary prevention of fragility fractures. So unless we really try to address this, I think that having programs like ours, in where we accept that, you know, it's going to happen, but then how can we improve outcomes after injuries like this happen? For instance, I forgot to mention, in our program we have a fracture liaison service, in where all of our patients who come in with fragility fractures, which is probably 95% of our patients, we have a fracture liaison person, which is a provider who's linked with endocrinology, to evaluate these patients and basically tag them for osteoporosis follow-up, whether it's a primary care with their primary care doctors or whether it's a referral to the endocrinology osteoporosis clinic. But what they do is they assess for bone health and make sure that these patients get appropriate secondary prevention for follow-ups. And it's programs like this, the ones who have shown to work for trying to improve secondary prevention of osteoporosis, because as you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's difficult for primary care docs to look into this, you know, once the patient returns to the community or returns to follow up. So I think it's in trying to look at different innovations. We're currently looking into, now that we have become so accustomed into using virtual visits and telehealth, into maybe thinking about programs in where we could do virtual visits or virtual follow-ups with patients at the SNFs, and see how can we help, or how can we add an additional layer of support for their care at the SNFs before they come home, and see maybe that also helps improve the long-term outcomes of our patients.
And that will be a future podcast discussion, I can only hope. We have been privileged to speak with and learn from geriatrician and leader in acute elder care, Dr. Esteban Franco Garcia. Now, Dr. Franco Garcia, ongoing success to your GIFTS program, and thank you very much for spending some of your time with AMDA on the Go.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, and it's a pleasure talking with you.
References for this podcast can be found at paltc.org/podcast. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman for this innovation podcast that we call AMDA on the Go.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post Acute Care. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, go to our new learning management system at apex.paltc.org. Click on podcast and follow the link to this latest episode. Thank you.